on the show. How are things in your world today?
I'm doing well, buddy. How's everything going with you?
So far, so good. And there's a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk some baseball, some golf, and some horse racing. And I want to start with something that's kind of cool that you guys do over at Bang the Book. You have the Five on the Fly segment that you do on your show. This week, you focused on the American League West. So what stands out about the AL West from a handicapping perspective?
Do you think the AL West is actually really interesting for this 60-game sprint? And in particular, the team that's the favorite to win the division and the second favorite to win the World Series as far as American League teams go, the Houston Astros. You know, the Astros were a team that, coming into this season, had some starting pitching questions. They lose Gerrit Cole, who signs that big deal with the Yankees. Wade Miley no longer there. Of course, a couple years ago, they let Dallas Keuchel go. They had some questions in their starting rotation beyond Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke. You've got Lance McCullers coming off of Tommy John surgery. Josh James, the guy who's primarily worked as a relief pitcher. You've got some other injured guys like prospect Forrest Whitley. Rogelio Armenteros has been hurt. So they had a lot of questions at the back end of that rotation. But now, only having to play 60 games instead of 162, they can cobble a lot of things together. Piggybacks, four-man rotations, stuff like that. So I think this 60-game format actually helps them more than it hurts them, whereas I think a team like the Oakland A's would actually be in better shape with a full season because they're a very deep team. They've got a lot of organizational depth. They've got a pretty good bullpen. But I think in a shorter sample size, Oakland is maybe a team that could struggle a little bit, whereas I think Houston is actually built better for this shorter format.
Well, and this year is ideal for Houston, too, because they're not playing in front of fans, and you can only imagine the madness that they would face if they actually had fans in the stands letting them hear about the cheating scandal, and hopefully that's something that we won't forget about when they do allow fans into the stands again. Hopefully that's next year. Well, we'll transition into some golf now, and I know that they were suspended earlier today because of the inclement weather, but how much do you think the results of this weekend's Workday Charity Open at Mirrorfield Village will affect the betting market since they're playing at the exact same venue most of these guys are anyway at the Memorial next weekend?
Well, this is one of those things where, you know, I think people are actually, you know, really concerned and disappointed that this is the week that they didn't play Colin Morikawa, who's completely blowing the field away. I know a lot of people played him in head-to-head matchups and stuff, but not a lot of people I know taking him to win the tournament. And right now I believe it's a six-shot lead that he has with play suspended, as you mentioned. But Morikawa's maybe the best iron player on the PGA Tour, and he's only, you know what, 22, 23 years old. That's the big thing about this course here, Mirrorfield Village. It's not a putting tournament like we've seen with a lot of these other tournaments we've had since the return. This is a ball-striking course, and that's why a lot of people liked guys like Victor Hovland, who I really like this week, guys like Hideki Matsuyama. Ball strikers win at Mirrorfield Village. Guys that play really well on approach with the irons, like a Morikawa, like a Hovland, like a Matsuyama, all three of those guys will be very popular again next week. And when you see what kind of player fits the course profile, the odds are going to adjust, either because they played really well the week before or just because the odds makers know that's who guys are going to bet next week. So a lot of prices on guys that maybe aren't the best putters but are pretty good tee to green types of players, their prices will probably be depressed a little bit next week. And, you know, again, we're talking about guys like a Bryson DeChambeau. We're talking about guys like Hovland, Morikawa, stuff like that. Those guys are going to have shorter prices next week, and they'll be very, very popular anyway.
And this is a pretty impressive field this week, although next week it's supposed to be much, much better. And I'm really interested to see how all of that shakes out. But, you know, the weather seems like it always is a factor anytime they're playing at Mirrorfield Village. So anxious to see if they get some of the same challenges moving into next week. But speaking of golf, we've got to discuss the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship, which is taking place in Lake Tahoe this weekend. And we talked about it on the show just a couple of days ago. There are some really interesting groupings here. And there are some guys who are just terrific golfers that maybe some folks don't know about. You know, Tony Romo is a guy that's getting pretty good odds to win this because he's a sensational golfer. Steph Curry as well. What are some of the more interesting odds that you've seen for that particular tournament this weekend?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting about tournaments like this, and, you know, this is something that we see year in and year out with things like the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and you know, some of the other things that go on before some of the more marquee tournaments. Some athletes are really good golfers. Some of them aren't. But yet they're priced as if they're pretty good out there in the market. You know, guys that are former NFL players. You know, we saw that charity match with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And, you know, Peyton looked like he, you know, was a pretty good golfer, but of course had his errant shots and everything like that. Tom Brady didn't play particularly well in that event. But, you know, we always see those prices kind of depressed a little bit on some of the professional athletes because people just assume, okay, well, you know, they're a world-class talent and whatever it is that they do, they're just going to pick up golf. And maybe that's the case for some guys like a Tony Romo. I know John Smoltz, I believe, is trying to qualify for like a Korn Ferry tournament or a senior tournament or something like that here. The guys that are really good golfers that are ex-athletes, everybody knows about them. And those are the guys that wind up being in those, you know, favorite, second favorite, third favorite types of roles. But you can find some good values on guys like there's some country artists. Jake Owen is actually a phenomenal golfer, and people don't really necessarily know that. There was a chance he could have gone pro, but actually got hurt, lost the top of his finger in a wakeboarding accident as a teenager, wound up having to change his swing and focus on different things and all that. But those are the ones you really want to look for, are the guys that aren't the athletes, but the guys that are, you know, music artists, you know, maybe actors. There's some good values to be had in some of these celebrity tournaments if you kind of shy away from the professional athletes and sort of the reputation that people think they have.
Have you had the chance to examine some of the groupings here? I mean, there are some really, really fun groupings. There's only one twosome. These are primarily threesomes. Have you had a chance to examine these much for the guys who were supposed to tee off earlier today?
I actually haven't had a chance to take a look at it, and I apologize. I've been running around since you sent over the email talking some of the show topics. But, you know, I'm pretty sure if you reeled off some of the names, I wouldn't be too surprised to hear them.
Well, so the question I'm throwing at you is, and we had some fun with this a couple days ago, talking about if you had the opportunity to be the fourth in one of these groupings, you know, which ones would you pick? And there are some pretty cool ones out there. I mean, to me, I picked out Alfonso Ribeiro, of course, is Carlton from The Fresh Prince. He's in a grouping with Rob Riggle and Ray Romano. I thought that one would be a lot of fun. There's a Joe Buck, Jay Billis, and Vinny Del Negro. Not exactly sure where Vinny Del Negro fits into all of that, but I thought that would be a fun one to be a part of. You know, when you take a look at some of the guys who are pretty darn good, we talked about Steph Curry. He's paired with Del Curry and Aaron Rodgers. I thought that would be a good one. As good as Romo is, he's paired up with Larry Fitzgerald and Jerry Rice. You brought up John Smoltz. How about the grouping he's in with Greg Maddux and Roger Clemens? Those are some pretty impressive groupings.
Yeah, they really are. I think that the, you know, I wouldn't mind needling Aaron Rodgers a little bit about Olivia Munn. That would be kind of fun, I think, for doing that for 18 holes. But, man, being such a baseball guy, I was a little bit too young for 95 to really bother me, but in retrospect, seeing the Greg Maddux strike zone that he had in that series, I'd probably pick those guys, not only so I could talk pitching, but also so I could, kind of put an asterisk on their World Series.
And also find out why he was throwing at Eddie Murray, right? Because yeah. I think we all looked at that and thought, wait a second, there's no way he's not throwing at him. As much control as he has, how in the world could he miss that far inside on Eddie Murray? And I know he had a conversation with Earl Hershiser in the middle of that game, and I think Hershiser's comment was, you're better than that, indicating that he knew that Maddux was trying to come inside a little bit too far on Eddie Murray. So you're right, that would be a fun conversation to have with all three of those guys. That's just such an interesting tournament to me. Because some of these guys are actually very good, as you mentioned. Then there are some, like Charles Barkley. He's in a grouping with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And I think that would be a fun one to be a part of, as long as Mahomes is picking up the tab now, but he's making over $500 million over the next decade, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, and it reminds me, was it the 18 strikeout game for Kluber when he threw it like Matt Holliday or threw it somebody? And I remember one of those Kluber games where he was just dialed in, and he threw at somebody who swung like first pitch and kind of upset him a little bit. And after the game, they're like, you know, he's like, oh, well, that one just kind of got away from me. It's like, no, it didn't. Like, you could put it absolutely anywhere you want to. There was purpose behind that, for sure. It'd always be interesting to talk to pitchers, especially elite control and command guys like Maddux and Kluber, you know, about throwing at somebody and just how obvious it looks.
Greg Maddux, one of those guys. He was a Picasso at painting the corners, no question about that. Again, Adam Burke, BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We've had some fun talking some baseball and some golf. Now we'll horse around a little bit and take a look at the field of 13 in the Bluegrass Stakes this weekend. Who do you like amongst these 13?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this is an interesting field. I mean, it's been a very interesting crop of three-year-olds in general here for the Road to the Kentucky Derby, because Charlatan and Nadal, who were probably the two best of the three-year-old crop, they're out now. And Maxfield, who is probably the third on that list, his status is kind of in doubt for the Kentucky Derby. So we've got a pretty inconsistent crop of three-year-olds. But the one that stands out here at Keeneland this weekend, Swiss Skydiver for trainer Ken McPeak. A filly has never won the Bluegrass Stakes, but she's in the race here this week. And there was some discussion as to whether or not McPeak would put her in the Ashland Stakes, which is an all-filly race, or let her go ahead and try in the Bluegrass here. She's going to get a try in the Bluegrass, and she is the favorite on the morning line. I think she'll probably go off as the race favorite because it's not a overly strong field. There's not a ton of top-end speed. She may have the best top-end speed in this field. But that would be a really interesting development, because if she wins this race, she's got the points to get in the Kentucky Derby. And McPeak, I mean, you know, these trainers know their horses, and that's always a pretty good betting angle, is when there are two different races that you could possibly enter, which one does the trainer put that horse in? Which one does that trainer think they have the best chance to win? She would have won the Ashland Stakes running away by probably four or five lengths. Here she's going to get tested, and she could win it. She may finish second or third. This is McPeak saying, I think I've got a Derby horse here. And when you've got a legendary trainer who's been around the block like that, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. So I like Swiss Skydiver to probably win it here. A couple of others that are kind of interesting. Enforceable is one that actually has kind of underachieved this year. Has a very, very good bloodline. The son of Tappet, a horse that most people know, just hasn't really had that big coming out party standout performance. In this field, where he's not facing nearly as much speed as he had been in previous stakes races, I think he's one that can hit the board as well. So I like Swiss Skydiver, probably in an exact a box there with Enforceable, and then maybe Art Collector, who's won three straight races.
Swiss Skydiver. I love the name. Love that name. Love the alliteration, too. It all just makes sense to me, so that's who I would go with also. Adam, one last thing before we cut you loose here. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we're going to catch up with Jim Rosenhaus with the Indians Radio Network. And one of the things we'll ask him is, how much should we read into the lineup that they put out there yesterday in their first inter-squad scrimmage with Cesar Hernandez leading off at second base? Is that something you expect us to see a little bit more of moving forward when they get into the regular season? Do you think that they'll go more with Hernandez leading off, or do you think Lindor stays up there?
I think it's kind of an interesting discussion because, you know, Cesar Hernandez is a guy that's kind of always had a pretty good on-base percentage. He puts a lot of balls in play. He's kind of that, you know, old-school number two type of hitter kind of guy. And I think that, you know, when you talk about trying to maximize the offensive potential of this team in its current state, you know, you've got Lindor, you've got Ramirez. I don't know if Santana can replicate the career year last year. You've got Domingo Santana, who's just going to be all over the place. Same thing with Franmil Reyes. I think that you've got, you know, a pretty solid, consistent bat in Hernandez there. Then maybe you do lead him off. Drop Lindor to second, or maybe Santana second, something like that. Try to really set the table for this middle of the order, because if Reyes and Domingo Santana perform up to expectations, that's more middle of the order power than you've had in quite some time. So maybe it makes sense to sort of move a guy like Lindor down into the middle of the order, let Hernandez bat at the top, and just sort of see how things play out with that. And furthermore, too, you know, I mean, there's a very realistic possibility that Lindor gets traded. So, you know, maybe you kind of do a little bit less lineup shuffling if that ends up being the case.
I think we'll certainly learn a lot here the next 7 days or so. They've got a bunch of these inter-squad scrimmages lined up next week, and then they're hoping to get some exhibition games scheduled for the week after. Adam, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely. Take care, Andy.
Thanks, Adam. You do the same. Again, that's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and BangTheBook.